The second Sunday after Pentecost, November 9th. The Collect and Psalms will be read from the Episcopal Church Book of Common Prayer. The Old Testament, Epistle, and Gospel will be read from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. O God, whose blessed Son came into the world that he might destroy the works of the devil and make us children of God and heirs of eternal life, grant that having this hope, we may purify ourselves as he is pure, that when he comes again with power and great glory, we may be made like him in his eternal and glorious kingdom, where he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Track 1, Old Testament, is from Haggai, chapter 1, verses 15b through chapter 2, verse 9. In the second year of King Darius, on the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through Haggai the prophet. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to the high priest Joshua of Jehozadak, and to the remnant of the people. Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Doesn't it seem like nothing to you? Even so, be strong, Zerubbabel. This is the Lord's declaration. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land. This is the Lord's declaration. Work, for I am with you, the declaration of the Lord of hosts. This is the promise I made to you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit is present among you. Don't be afraid. For the Lord of hosts says this, Once more, in a little while, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, so that the treasures of all the nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver and gold belong to me. This is the declaration of the Lord of hosts. The final glory of this house will be greater than the first, says the Lord of hosts. I will provide peace in this place. This is the declaration of the Lord of hosts. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Track 1 Psalm is Psalm 145, verses 1 through 5 and 18 through 21. Or Psalm 98. Psalm 145. I will exalt you, O God, my King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day will I bless you, and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. There is no end to his greatness. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your power. I will ponder the glorious splendor of your majesty and all your marvelous works. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving in all his works. The Lord is near to those who call upon him, to all who call upon him faithfully. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He hears their cry and helps them. The Lord preserves all those who love him, but he destroys all the wicked. Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. With his right hand and his holy arm has he won for himself the victory. The Lord has made known his victory, his righteousness has he openly shown in the sight of the nations. He remembers his mercy and faithfulness to the house of Israel, and all the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Shout with joy to the Lord, all you lands. Lift up your voice, rejoice, and sing. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the voice of song. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, shout with joy before the King, the Lord. Let the sea make a noise and all that is in it, the lands and those who dwell therein. Let the rivers clap their hands, and let the hills ring out with joy before the Lord. when he comes to judge the earth. In righteousness shall he judge the world, and the peoples with equity. Track 2, Old Testament, is from Job chapter 19, verses 23 to 27a. I wish that my words were written down, that they were recorded on a scroll, or were inscribed in stone forever by an iron stylus and lead. But I know my living Redeemer, and he will stand on the dust at last. Even after my skin has been destroyed, yet I will see God in my flesh. I will see him myself, my eyes will look at him, and not as a stranger. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Track 2 Psalm is Psalm 17, verses 1 through 9. Hear my plea of innocence, O Lord, give heed to my cry. Listen to my prayer, which does not come from lying lips. Let my vindication come forth from your presence. Let your eyes be fixed on justice. Weigh my heart, summon me by night. Melt me down, you will find no impurity in me. I give no offense with my mouth as others do. I have heeded the words of your lips. My footsteps hold fast to the ways of your law. In your paths my feet shall not stumble. I call upon you, O God, for you will answer me. Incline your ear to me, and hear my words. Show me your marvelous loving kindness, O Savior of those who take refuge at your right hand from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me under the shadow of your wings. From the wicked who assault me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. The epistle is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 and 13 through 17. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be easily upset in mind or troubled, either by a spirit or by a message or by a letter as if from us, alleging that the day of the Lord has come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. For that day will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he sits in God's sanctuary, publicizing that he himself is God. Don't you remember that when I was still with you, I told you about this? But we must always thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God has chosen you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, so that you might obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions you were taught, either by our message or by our letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal encouragement and good hope by grace, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good work and word. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. The Gospel is from Luke chapter 20, verses 27 to 38. They watched closely and sent spies who pretended to be righteous, so they could catch him in what he said, to hand him over to the governor's rule and authority. They questioned him. "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach correctly, and you don't show partiality, but teach truthfully the way of God. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But detecting their craftiness, he said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose image and inscription does it have?" "Caesar's," they said. "Well then," he told them, "give back to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." They were not able to catch him in what he said in public, and being amazed at his answer, they became silent. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came up and questioned him. "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother has a wife and dies childless, his brother should take the wife and produce offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children. Also the second and the third took her. In the same way, all seven died and left no children. Finally, the woman died too. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For all seven had married her." Jesus told them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are counted worthy to take part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. For they cannot die any more, because they are like angels and are sons of God, since they are sons of the resurrection. Moses even indicated in the passage about the burning bush that the dead are raised, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but of the living, because all are living to him." The Gospel of the Lord. On November 15th, we celebrate the lives of Francis Asbury and George Whitefield, evangelists, read from a great cloud of witnesses. Two of the great figures to emerge from out of the religious fervor of colonial and post-revolutionary America, George Whitefield and Francis Asbury, shared a common tie to the Methodist movement of John Wesley. George Whitefield entered Pembroke College, Oxford, as a servitor, one unable to pay tuition, and who thus served higher-ranked students in exchange for free tuition. There he came under the influence of John and Charles Wesley, and was a member of the Holy Club. In 1736, he was ordained a deacon, and in 1738, he followed John Wesley to Georgia, where Whitefield served a parish in Savannah, Georgia. He returned to England in 1739 to obtain priest's orders and to raise funds for his Bethesda orphanage in Georgia. His preaching attracted a wide following in England, Wales, and Scotland. Whitefield, who subscribed to the Calvinist position then prevalent in the Church of England, broke with the Wesleys, the latter being theologically drawn to Arminianism. Whitefield formed and was president of the First Methodist Conference, but left that position after a short time to focus on evangelistic efforts. Whitefield returned to America several times, and his preaching sparked the Great Awakening of 1740. Whitefield preached to thousands throughout the colonies, riding from New York to Charleston on horseback. Like Whitefield, Francis Asbury was also renowned for his preaching, and also like Whitefield, he rode many miles on horseback each year and preached throughout the colonies. Asbury was sent to America by John Wesley in 1771 and was the only Methodist minister to remain in America when the War for Independence broke out. When the newly independent Methodist Episcopal Church was formed, he and Thomas Coke served as the first two bishops. Like his mentor, John Wesley, Asbury preached in courthouses, public houses, tobacco fields, or wherever a large crowd could be gathered to hear him. Among those he ordained was Richard Allen, the former slave and founder of the African Methodist Episcopal Church. Let us pray. Holy God, you inspired Francis Asbury and George Whitefield with evangelical zeal through their faithful proclamation of the gospel. Inspire us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, that we, like them, may be eager to share your good news and lead many to Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.